Welcome to today's In Touch with Southeast Iowa program. I'm Joe Sierwinski on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm talking with Iowa DNR Air Monitoring Unit Leader Sean Fitzsimmons about elevated ozone issues. So what can you tell me about the elevated ozone?
Well, on Father's Day, June 19th, three monitors exceeded the 70 part per billion NACS threshold, and those were monitors in Clinton, Davenport, and Central Davenport. Clinton read 72, Davenport, Scott County Park 74, and Central Davenport 72. These were all levels that are just over the threshold for unhealthy for sensitive groups. 71 and above are in that category. And in that range, the groups that are most at risk from exposure are asthmatics, people with respiratory difficulties, the elderly, and children. And for those people in those groups, we advise them to avoid prolonged exertion outdoors. So on that day, on Father's Day, we had a series of several days where we had hot, high temperatures and clear skies. And so sometimes under those conditions, you'll see the ozone start to build. Ozone's created when NOx from cars and power plants and basically any combustion source and VOCs cook up with hot temperatures and clear skies, and that's what gives rise to high ozone values. And if you have those sort of conditions on multiple days, you can get a condition where the levels start to build up. And so on Sunday morning, we noticed that there was carry forward that had occurred, so we issued a special weather statement advising that conditions may be favorable for formation of ozone in the unhealthy for sensitive groups category, and put that out through the National Weather Service office in Des Moines and the National Weather Service office over in Davenport. And it turned out that in central Iowa didn't experience any exceedances, but we did get some exceedances in the at the sites I mentioned on the far east of the state.
So it's caused by various forms of combustion and emissions. Is there any way for us normal people to decrease it in any way?
There are regional control programs in place that sort of, work to cut the emissions from power plants, NOx emissions, and those are the big sources. And those cuts at power plants and other coal combustion sources have led to declines in ozone levels in recent years. But what individuals can do, when you fuel your car, there's some vapors that get out during the daytime, and if you can delay fueling your car till the sun goes down, take public transportation if it's available, and avoid, mowing your lawn during the heat of the day. Most people would probably do that anyway, but those are some things you can take to lower your VOC emissions as an individual, and lower your NOx emissions if you can avoid using your car, or if you have to go someplace, taking public transportation. But these levels are just over the threshold in the unhealthy for sensitive groups category, and they're difficult to predict. But there are some things that individuals can do to help keep levels down. And I guess the big picture is the high levels, from a planning point of view, can be reduced by reducing those NOx emissions from power plants. And that's what EPA has been doing for the past several years, to kind of asking power plants to reduce their emissions as part of trading programs.
So do you feel that the ozone levels are trending back downward, or if they're still trending upward?
Well, the levels were down the next day, out of the unhealthy for sensitive groups category. We don't get these conditions very often. With the new standards, they're lower than ever, so we're still kind of trying to figure out exactly where we end up. But just to kind of give you an idea, the number that EPA uses to calculate the ozone levels relative to the standard for Davenport is 59. And if it were 70, then there would be controls that the EPA would ask for non-attainment. But we're very far from that level. 11 parts per billion is a lot for ozone. Clinton's up at 62, but still comfortably below the NACS. So in terms of the standard for regulatory intervention, we're still considerably below those levels. And exceedances, if we were to get four exceedances a year for the next 3 years, then we would be in a situation where we would have an issue where they, we had air quality that was bad enough to warrant a regulatory intervention. We have had two this year at one site in Scott County Park, but we're a long way from having four a year for 3 years. The way the standard works, it's the average fourth highest daily maximum over a 3 year period. So for each year, you take the daily maximum for every day, and then you pick the fourth highest for a given year, and you do that for 3 years and take the average. And so when you use that metric, we're still a long way from regulatory intervention, but we do like to alert the public when we've got levels that are over 70, because those correspond to situations where asthmatics and the elderly people with lung and pulmonary difficulties can have a harder time breathing. It might be something that would precipitate an asthma attack in some individuals, and so we like to give people notice when we can.
That's been today's In Touch with Southeast Iowa with Sean Fitzsimmons. You can find this program at kciiradio.com. I'm Joe Sierwinski with KCII News.